Tweet at Today SOR.
Well, after another week of controversy at the Football Association of Ireland, the organisation will hold its long-awaited extraordinary general meeting tomorrow to try to ratify 78 new recommendations on governance from the report of the Governance Review Group. Now, Aidan Horan, chair of the Governance Review Group, joins me in studio. Aidan, good morning and thanks for coming in. Will you remind us first of the makeup of this Governance Review Group and how and who appointed you?
Okay, thank you very much, Damien. The Governance Review Group was five members, three nominated externally by the Sport Ireland, and that was Moling Ryan, Joe O'Leary and myself as the independent chair, and also two representatives from the FAI board, Rhea Walsh and Niamh O'Donoghue. So okay. It was a five-person group.
And you published your report a few weeks ago. It's going ahead in front of that EGM tomorrow for ratification. And all the talk has been, of course, over the last few months since the latest controversy blew up has been about the clear out of the board. Minister Shane Ross and Sport Ireland have demanded it. But I'm looking through your report. You say in it that the handover and transition, for handover and transition purposes, and to manage the serious risks where everyone leaves at once, at least one or possibly a maximum of two members might consider putting themselves forward for positions on the interim boards. Now, the upshot of that has been, Aidan, that we now have the FAI President Donal Conway running unopposed for re-election at the AGM next week, and Vice President Noel Fitzroy also standing. Now, that doesn't look like a radical change, the radical change that we're all seeking, does it?
Okay. But before I introduce why we put that suggestion in, the context here is a significant and radical change in the governance and in the arrangements at the FAI board. Mm. You're now having a 12-person board, four independent people, not previously involved, a new constituency model at council where you're going from a 58-member council to a 79-member council. They're going to be nominating six new football nominees. Again, new people coming on, new blood coming in, and also the president and vice president to be elected at the AGM. Now, I suppose our chief concern and the serious risk I think has to be mitigated is to ensure that there's a managed, careful and smooth transition and an orderly handover. And I suppose that's to allow the new board, which remember is going to be 12 predominantly new people coming in, to be able to understand what's going on and to give it the best chance of success.
But did you not see this coming, that the two people would in fact be the two most senior faces of the outgoing board?
If you quoted from the report, Damien, and I suppose we wanted to guard against the loss of knowledge, insights, perspectives, understandings. There's a lot going on at the FAI at the moment. Remember, it is a suggestion that the board of the FAI themselves.
But is it a problem now that it's the two most senior members of the outgoing board, Donal Conway, the face of that old board that sat in front of that Oireachtas committee for 8 hours trying to bat away very hard questions, is now being going ahead in front of the AGM next week unopposed?
I suppose, Damien, just to say...
It's not a clear out.
I go back to my point. It's to allow for an orderly transition. That's the basis for this. I mean, it probably would have been easier to say everybody goes, but actually I think it's a much more careful process so that we don't lose the knowledge and the insights. I've been involved in the Governance Review Group roadshows going around the country. We had our last one last night in Abbottstown, another late night in Abbottstown, where we actually talked to people, and the president has been leading this, talking about the requirement to implement change. We suggested the board as a board would look at some transition. We didn't indicate who the transition people may be.
So are you ignoring the advice of Minister Shane Ross and indeed Sport Ireland, who, you know, have put together this group?
Okay, Damien, we were an independent group, yeah? My background is on governance in organisations and looking for smooth transition. If, for example, the board of RTE all walked off together
What kind of challenge that was placed?
Yes, but
it was the board and the FAI that said themselves we would all step down.
Look, we, in the report, we said we absolutely respect what they said in April. Right, that was the view. We looked at this. We came up with 78 recommendations, cultural and behavioural change, structural change. And in the context of trying, I go back to my basic point, smooth, orderly, appropriate transition.
And that can't
orderly transition as a distinct from a disorderly transition.
Right, so you're saying that can't happen unless there are two members from the previous board.
No, there are ways of managing that. But we would have thought, if you're going to be bringing in 10 new people, or 12 new people in, to have some element of continuity is better than having none at all.
Okay,
and this was the point I've been trying to make, I suppose, at the committee this week as well.
Okay, so when Donal Conway was nominated unopposed by for the head of the AGM, Shane Ross, the minister responsible, who of course he is effectively in charge of funding the FEI, and that's at the core of this, about the continuing funding of this organisation. He said earlier this week, the process for the upcoming election falls short of the transparency and democracy which we would expect of an organisation seeking to implement good governance practices. So what do you say to that?
Yeah, I mean, we in our report, we talked about new principles, governance principles of the FEI, including accountability, transparency, effective leadership, good governance, professionalism, stakeholder engagement. I have to go back to the basic principle again. We are endeavouring to allow for an orderly transition, some element of a smooth transition. And all we tried to do was to suggest that the board of the FAI would consider that. Possibly one or a maximum of two.
And that's been the two most senior members of the outgoing board.
I didn't dictate that it should be the two most senior members of the outgoing board.
So they were given an inch and they've taken a mile, really.
No, I have to contest that. Not at all. I mean, we did a draft report. By the way, this report was shared with Sport Ireland and all of the stakeholders, a draft report on the 13th of June and a final report on the 21st of June. And we're here a month later. And indeed, these recommendations have been absolutely endorsed by the FEI board and accepted by Sport Ireland. And they are endeavouring to move forward and to implement these. And indeed, I go back, the president has been leading the implementation and leading the presentation to all of the association's members. This is an independent association. Association.
Do the 78 recommendations, do they have to be accepted in the round, or are they open to change tomorrow amendments?
Yeah, the situation is we've looked at governance arrangements and governance structures to support the implementation of the arrangements. These are presented as an overall package, as a package for implementation. It's not an a la carte menu. The package is the package on the table at the moment, and I would expect, and hopefully, that these will be accepted resoundingly by the association's membership at the EGM.
And Donal Conway has said that's plan A. He said plan B is to stay as we are. Do you agree with him on that?
There was another media briefing, another of the media briefings yesterday that I attended. Plan B effectively is that the existing rule book, they've brought forward rule changes, which is what the EGM is about, which is about implementing these recommendations. Mm-hmm. If they go to plan B is sitting with the existing rule book, more or less the as-is situation with standing committees, honorary secretary, honorary treasurer posts, etc.
And a freezing of public funding. How is the FEI being funded at the moment? How is the freeze affecting games at juvenile level? And how are UEFA and FIFA involved in funding the organisation at the moment, as far as you know?
We had a limited scope. We had a very detailed terms of reference that we delivered upon. It did not include looking at funding and sustainability of the FAI. Obviously, it's been well signalled about the public funding has ceased and will not be restored until certain conditions are fulfilled, and these were amplified further at the committee by Sport Ireland.
The upshot of this is, of course, that we have an annual general meeting next week, and the understanding is that there will be no set of accounts presented to the AGM. Now, you, as somebody that's in charge of making recommendations to improve the governance of this organisation, in anywhere in your 78 recommendations do you suggest the fundamental issue that a set of accounts should be presented to the AGM? You can't have an AGM of any organisation without a set of accounts being presented to it.
I mean, in section 4 of our report, we looked at 16 key governance areas, of which financial reporting, financial management was one, internal control, risk, strategy, leadership roles, responsibilities, etc. In normal circumstances, you would expect that a draft set of accounts or an approved audited set of accounts would be brought to the AGM. That is not happening in this situation. And again, that is not within my area of responsibility or scope.
What's your own view on that?
Yeah, well, I would...
In terms of the image of the organisation, we're talking here about improving the image and the corporate governance of our organisation that's going to have an AGM with no set of accounts.
There are a range of investigations and other reviews and supports going on at the FAI. There is the external audit to happen, there's the audit by Sport Ireland and so on. I suppose it just in terms of timing and all the work that's going on, the accounts are not completed or finalised at this stage to be brought to the AGM.
Even draft accounts?
That's my understanding. And again, Damien, I have no overview of that.
But I wonder, should the AGM be put back until there are accounts to be presented?
This came up at the committee the other day. That's not my decision. That's a decision for a board of the FAI.
Would you have an opinion as somebody making recommendations about improving the corporate governance?
In the ideal world, if it wasn't exceptional circumstances as we have, you would have a set of accounts coming forward. I think it will be progressed pretty quickly and expeditiously. So whether the AGM, maybe, as I said, has been discussed, aspects of the AGM will happen and then it may be adjourned, and the accounts to be presented at a subsequent AGM.
But have
AGM.
You asked for an explanation or have you been given any explanation there are no accounts?
Well, first of all, I have no remit to look at the accounts. There are other reviews, other investigations on. I have seen the scope of the other reviews that are happening. Yeah, Our terms of reference did not ask us to look at the detailed forensic accounting aspects.
But did you ask why, for example, there are no accounts? Yeah.
Well, we brought forward recommendations around about financial policy, financial procedures, controls and risk. We had a detailed documentary review of documentation at the FAI.
Yes.
We would have seen financial information. We would have seen commercial agreements.
Did you see anything there that shocked you?
No. Well, first of all, I put it in the report. Anything we looked for from the FAI, we received.
Okay.
I have to say that firstly, because there is a view effectively that there's not an open disclosure. Anything we look for to complete our review, we reviewed. We reviewed them in the context of helping us to come to our conclusions and our recommendations.
Did you look for an explanation then as to how the former CEO gave a loan of 100,000 to the organisation?
Can I say that? I mean, this has come up in many fora. We have no remit, no role in relation to...
Really?
That's a catalyst for where we are now today.
Of course,
I understand, and the reason we were brought together was quite public. There was a lot of public discourse about why we needed to do it. Ours was the first report that we tried to deliver a product back about better governance. Our review is a prospective review looking forward in the context of what should be in place in an organisation that has a turnover of 50 million and employs over 200 staff. Mm. We've tried to set down norms and benchmarks and standards that should be there. That's why the recommendations are a package, so that for the future, you will not have a recurrence of what happened in the past.
Okay, because you did say to that committee earlier in the week that one of the biggest issues which bedevils governance in the FAI is the lack of clarity on roles and responsibilities. Do we have any idea what John Delaney's current role is in the FAI? Or did you look for clarity on that?
No, I mean,
as
part of the review again and the detailed work over a very busy 8 weeks, we would have looked at the organisational charts, we would have looked at the various departments, the various work programmes, the various committee terms of reference. The fact, Amy, that we've 78 recommendations covering a broad range of areas tells you maybe a little bit of what we found. Can I go back? Most governance issues, not just in the FAI but generally, is about role confusion, lack of clarity, lack of separation of powers.
And is there role confusion in the FAI?
What we're bringing forward here is a new terms of reference for the new board, which runs to 7 or 8 pages. New terms of reference for all of these new committees that are coming in. And I would suggest the clarity that's required will be there on the basis of the recommendations we're bringing forward.
But have you made recommendations about executive vice presidents, for example?
We looked at the structures being the board, the new football management committee, which is going to be the football board for the FAI. And again, I'd be very enthusiastic for what that will achieve. There are new 5 business committees, 7 football committees, a whole recalibration of the tasks of each of those committees, and aligning an executive to be able to deliver. Our job was not to do an organisational review about the roles and responsibilities of staff. That was not part of our remit.
The FAI have not got a great track record when it comes to implementing reports. Genesis springs to mind, for example. How are your recommendations, even if they're passed tomorrow on block and everyone says they're great and let's move on to the AGM, is that the end of it then, or are they going to be policed and implemented?
We've advocated in the report the establishment of an implementation oversight group. The implementation oversight group is going to have two Sport Ireland nominees. Their job is going to be to take a stock take of the rate of implementation of the recommendations and the nature and extent of the implementation. In addition to external oversight with this implementation group, and again, emphasise again, two Sport Ireland nominees there.
Will they have much power?
They will just...
I mean, is there going to be a lot of window dressing going on here? Will we be going back to the old FAI ways, do you think, in the future?
Okay, can I just say, among the governance review roadshow workshops, many of the people who have attended have talked about, can we be sure we will do this? Mm. This is down to implementation. We've advocated board effectiveness reviews, committee effectiveness reviews every year and externally every 3 years. That's in addition to the implementation oversight group. That's in addition to an internal implementation group going to be led at an executive level.
And that latest one in Abbottstown last night, for example, was the issue of Donal Conway being renominated for president unopposed. Was that raised at all?
It was raised, and there were some questions and different views expressed. I think it's probably commented in the media today at the press briefing yesterday. I think what was indicated by the president is that the board are going to be meeting this weekend to reflect on what's being said at the moment. And from that, some decision may come. But I don't know what that is.
You mentioned the media there, finally. And we talk about transparency and democracy and openness and all of this. Yeah. And we have an event tomorrow, a very, very important event. The media are excluded. What does that say about transparency and a new FAI being open, moving forward?
The context of the EGM, the EGM is to look at specific aspects, and I think that's to allow the members, and who are going to be there to express their views openly. I understand, or there is going to be a media briefing after that.
What's to be lost by not allowing the, or to be gained by not allowing the media to attend tomorrow and hear all of the views from the different stakeholders within the football family, give their opinions on your recommendations.
But the EGM will allow for that tomorrow. I mean, if the EGM is going to have
a press conference afterwards.
Well, there's going to be a press conference afterwards where
the media will not be allowed into the actual meeting.
But I mean, you asked about it's the association's members given a chance to give their views and thoughts candidly, openly on the report. That's what the EGM is going to do. That's my understanding.
All right. Okay. Well, you've had a very busy few weeks. There's no doubt about that, Aidan. And I want to thank you for coming in this morning ahead of that EGM, which takes place tomorrow in Dunboyne in County Meath, and the AGM the following week just down the road from there in Trim, also in County Meath. Aidan Horan, Chair of the Governance Review Group into the FAI, thank you very much for joining us. We'll take a break.
Thank you.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.